Thank you for joining me today. As we come towards the end of another week together, I want you to know that today and tomorrow, I'll wrap up my comments on the third chapter of the book of Matthew. And that will put us at Matthew chapter 4 and the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. So by the end of tomorrow's broadcast and podcast, we will have learned what Jesus teaches us about God from Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 3, and we will have many more lessons ahead from our Lord. My prayer is that as you hear God's word to you, as you listen to the teaching, think about it, mull it over, read the Bible for yourself, and engage with me and your fellow listeners. Jesus Christ will transform your life. Really, I have high expectations of what God can do in all of us, myself definitely included, through this ministry. So let's be attentive now to the Bible, and I will read at Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You just heard Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. As you know, if you've been with us, our focus today is verse 17. But off the top now, I want you to notice the participation here of the Trinitarian nature of God. God is three persons in one. He is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see that clearly in these verses. In verse 16, Jesus the Son is being baptized. Also in verse 16, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descends on Jesus. And then in verse 17, God the Father speaks with his voice out of the heavens. There we have it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The triune God, the three in one. The Bible teaches there is only one God and that he exists eternally as three distinct persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet, of course, as we see here in Matthew 3, verses 16 through 17, the Father is not the Son, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Son, Jesus, is not the Holy Spirit. And yet they are one. So they are three distinct persons. And what I have just read to you, we see this. And yes, I'll be the first to acknowledge that for our finite minds, severely limited because we are mere humans, this is difficult to comprehend. Nevertheless, it is true. God is Trinitarian in nature. God is three persons in one. He is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. And at the baptism of Jesus, there is Trinitarian participation. And that is significant because this event right here, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River, the descent of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, and the words that God the Father speaks about Jesus the Son from heaven, form the commissioning of Jesus into his three-year earthly ministry. Here, God commissions his Son Jesus. You should note this in your Bible as we continue to follow our Master closely. When we get to the end of Matthew chapter 3 tomorrow, Jesus will have been sent out by his Heavenly Father to do the work of ministry in the lives of those he touched then and now, including us. So at the start today, I just want to make certain you see the full participation of the triune God in the baptism of Jesus. The Trinity participates. And my main insight throughout Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17 has been this. In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. We've seen this repeatedly in verses 13 through 16, but how is this true of verse 17? In this text, Jesus teaches us that God gives us Jesus because God wants to identify himself with us. But where do I see this in verse 17? And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I see this as follows. As we have discussed here before, Jesus comes to us from where? Yes, he comes to us from heaven. And Jesus comes to us from whom? Yes, Jesus comes to us from God. You likely know John 3:16, God gave his only begotten Son. Verse 17, God sent his Son into the world. Jesus leaves heaven, truly God, and comes to the earth, both truly God and truly man. He is the God-man. You and I are people, men and women. We are not God. Despite how many of us think and live, we are not gods. God is God, and we are not. And yet when Jesus arrives, he is God, taking on the form of a person, a man. Jesus identifies himself as one of us. He is now one of us, so that he can relate to us and save us from our sin. And remember, the initiative for this, the one who came up with this plan and executed it to perfection, is God. He designs it and then executes it to perfection. Now, when God the Father looks out of heaven and sees his Son Jesus Christ there at the Jordan River, God speaks from heaven and says he is well pleased with Jesus. Why is God well pleased with Jesus? He's well pleased because Jesus is sinless perfection. Jesus is sinless perfection. He has no sin, and so God is well pleased with him. Simultaneously to this, however, God looks out from the heavens and sees clear through the heart and soul of all other people. And what he sees does not make him well pleased because he sees that we are not perfect. We are totally imperfect because we are all sinners through and through. God is never pleased with sin. God hates sin. God cannot in any way be associated with sin. And so sin can never please God. This is the biggest of all our problems. In fact, this is the reason we have any problems at all. Our sin separates us from God, and we all feel this separation. And watch this now. In Matthew 3, we have perfect, holy, sinless God in heaven. We have perfect, holy, sinless Jesus Christ on earth. And we have the perfect, holy, sinless Holy Spirit on earth, having descended on Jesus. And we have imperfect, unholy, and sinful us. Now, neither you nor I were there at the baptism of Jesus. None of us are that old. But people just like us were. And Jesus comes not just for those alive at the time of his earthly ministry, but for all people, as Jesus now carries out his heavenly ministry, until the day when he returns here to earth, which he is going to do. What Matthew 3 does then is set the stage. The stage is set. What then happens is that Jesus, identified with us by his humanness, carries out his earthly ministry from the baptism here in Matthew chapter 3 to the cross in Matthew chapter 27. Jesus, as perfect, sinless man, dies for the sins of imperfect, sinful men and women. And when we believe in Jesus alone, by our faith alone, for the forgiveness of our sins, then we identify ourselves with him. So God, through Jesus, identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. Let me give that to you again so you can think carefully about this. God, through Jesus, identifies himself with us so that we will identify ourselves with him. Because of the death of Christ on the cross for our sins, when we, by faith alone, believe in Jesus, our sins are forgiven, and now God has made us his, and he is making us like Jesus. He is perfecting us. We are in the process of being perfected. And we declare boldly at our own baptisms and henceforth, every day by what we say and by how we live, that we self-identify as Christ's, as Christians, as God's people. We belong to God. Are you following me? Are you with me? This is one of these days that will stretch your mind a little. That's a good thing. Let me see if I can also put this to you this way. If God did not identify himself with us, then we could not identify ourselves with him. And if we could not identify ourselves with him, then we would die hopeless in our sins, totally separated from God. So we have many reasons to give thanks and praise to God that He took the initiative through our Savior Jesus Christ to identify Himself with us and to remove our sins from us. And I believe we see this identification here in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. I see it clearly in the text, and I pray that you will also. And I will end with this, which will really blow your mind. In Matthew 3, verse 17, as we have seen, God calls Jesus His beloved, or His beloved, depending on how you pronounce it. Well, that same word is used to describe Christ's people, that is, Christians. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 7, when the Apostle Paul calls believers in Jesus Christ the beloved of God, what Paul is saying is monumental. God loves Christians with the same love God loves His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, hear this again. God loves Christians with the same love God loves His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that mind-blowing? It is to me. How is it possible that God could love me like this? How is it possible? For one exclusive reason. Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again from the dead, so that because of my faith in Christ, God loves me the same way He loves Jesus. And for you, genuine Christian who tune in today, God loves you the same way He loves Jesus. Did you hear me? God loves you, and He loves you the same way He loves Jesus. Remarkable, right? And you say, I'm not a Christian. How can I get God to love me like this? Seriously, write to me today, do it now, and I'll tell you exactly how God will love you with the same love He has for Jesus. And then join me again tomorrow, for God is.